Do only what only you can do. This, I believe, is extremely difficult and challenging, and that's why the best of the best CEOs have it as a mindset and do it well.
Bullshit.
It's the No BS Marketing Show. I'm Dave Mastovich, CEO and founder of Mass Solutions, the world's only no bullshit marketing firm. What makes the best CEOs the best CEOs? Wouldn't you like to know? I would. How do the best CEOs think and act? McKinsey Global Institute studied performance data on thousands of CEOs to show which styles, attitudes, beliefs, and approaches make CEOs succeed the most. The Institute researched 25 years worth of data from 3,500 public companies, 25 years worth of data, 3,500 public companies around the world. The results showed that excellent CEOs had these six mindsets. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear the six mindsets of the best CEOs of the last 25 years? They're not ranked, but I'm going to use numbers because you know how I am. I end up getting passionate and exciting and might mess things up and not make it as simple and clear for you as possible. So the first one is they focus on beating the odds. They have a mindset that's focused on beating the odds. When you look at that from an approach, it's saying that they know that what they're doing isn't necessarily the easiest path. It's probably not the most commonly done path. They know that their odds maybe aren't really that good. Think of Elon Musk, who's probably one of those best CEOs. And if you've think about what he's done with Tesla, or if you happen to buy some Tesla stock in the past year or two, you're feeling pretty good about Elon Musk. You talk about focusing on beating the odds. That's got to be his mindset. And there are so many other CEOs. As I've said before, before we turned this mic on, I was talking to Marcel and I said, I have to watch. I don't want to just start blurting out all kinds of names of different people, leaders that I've worked with or seen or that I admire, because I'll end up missing someone or I'll put someone on there that's controversial. But that one just popped in my head, Elon Musk. And so I already went against what I had planned to do here. But the first mindset is focusing on beating the odds. The second trait that I'll mention is they manage performance and health. They manage performance and health. There's all kinds of meanings here. They manage performance of the company. They're held accountable for that from a financial standpoint and operational standpoint. They manage the performance of their team. So they're managing the health, the financial health of their team and the financial health of their organization. But they manage their own health. They manage their own performance and their own health, which is significant. Because the workaholic syndrome of the 70s, 80s, into the 90s is still somewhat pervasive, but I think now and in the last 20 years, we've seen more and more leaders realize that while we won't get exactly the type of balance we want, we need to focus on balance. We need to focus on financial health, but we also need to focus on our personal health, fitness, how we eat, how we spend our time. There are some young people out there that maybe have aspirations to be CEO. Maybe there are some new CEOs out there, or even the cagey veteran CEOs. It's a lonely job. Trust me, it's a lonely job. People say to me, why do you do these things you do for personal and professional growth? They'll ask me, you're in this organization called Vistage? What is that? And I tell them it's the largest chief executive organization in the world that has groups of chief executives that work together with a board chair, a facilitator, and you get the chance to work together and process issues about each other and each other's companies. It's a peer group. It helps with isolation. So when people ask me, why did I join Vistage? I say, because I think that it helps you with personal and professional growth. It helps with that isolation that I mentioned. Why do I go to Toronto to hear from Dan Sullivan and his team at Strategic Coach? Well, the reason I'm doing that is because Strategic Coach is all about entrepreneurs and our mindset and the entrepreneur time management system, focusing on our unique ability, which I'll touch on when we get into one of the other traits. With isolation, it comes down to this. You want to be a professional, but you also want to build a culture with your leadership team and your entire team. So you want to ask their opinion, but you also have to be strong and not always just vent to them and not always show them that you're down or anything like that, and maintain your emotions as best you can. And you also have to keep some things private to yourself, just because there's so much going on in a company and there's so many different people that you can't possibly update everybody at the right time with the same amount of information. So that leads to some isolation. And isolation has you alone with your thoughts, which can be really good. I believe focus time and time to decompress and time to ponder things is extremely valuable. But not having someone to talk to is also extremely challenging. And so these top CEOs with these six traits were able to overcome isolation because they managed themselves. So the best of the best manage their performance and their health. They're tending to focus on their physical fitness, their sleep patterns, their mindset, what they eat. Every year I sit down and I make my SMART goals from a personal level and a professional level. And I don't show them to too many people, but you guys know on the No BS Show, I'm kind of an open book. And when I was going over them with Chuck from my Vistage group, the chair, I was telling him that one of them ties to sleep, that I want to spend even more time this year reading and watching videos on how to improve my sleep and sleep better. And that's on my personal goals. So someone might think, what? But I know how significant sleep is. And I know how, with the mind racing as a leader, you can keep yourself from sleeping well. So I put that on there. But that's what this McKinsey Global study is telling you, is that the top CEOs of the last 25 years focused on personal health and well-being. The third trait of top performing CEOs of the last 25 years is put dynamics ahead of mechanics. Put dynamics ahead of mechanics. I'm going to interpret this as we can build all kinds of processes, and processes are pretty important. And we can build action plans and strategic plans. Like I just told you, I have a plan for my goals for the year, but we also have financial and operational plans for the company. We have individual plans for each leader, each team member. That's mechanics. But the dynamics of culture and relationships are what really drives the success of a company. So when you talk about putting dynamics ahead of mechanics as a mindset, I interpret that as putting culture and relationships ahead of processes and day-to-day work. Well, that doesn't mean that processes aren't important. They're extremely important and they're needed. It doesn't mean the day-to-day activities aren't important, because if you didn't do the day-to-day activities, you wouldn't exist. It doesn't mean that management of people and processes is not important. It is. But culture, relationships, and leadership are more important than processes and management. And that's why they put those ahead. And it's that phrase of working on the business instead of in the business. They put dynamics ahead of mechanics. Culture and relationships and leadership above day-to-day activities, management, and processes. All of those are important, but culture and leadership drive the organization. The fourth one is they help their directors help the business. I'm going to interpret directors as management. So they meant directors, like it could have meant their top directors, could have meant the board of directors, could have meant senior level people, but I'm just going to interpret that as They let their team leaders lead, but they help them. They're helping them help the business. They're leading. They're providing the support that's needed for their management team, for their directors, for top management and middle management. They're providing the vision and the resources to help their directors and their managers help their business. The fifth trait of the top CEOs of the last 25 years, based on a McKinsey Global study, is they center on the long-term why. You know, when I saw that one, that I got excited, because I've talked so much about how Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, was just such a great illustration of what we as leaders need to do. But while reading that a decade or so ago, I thought, that's only one of the two whys. The first why, your why or reason for being. The CEO needs to clearly articulate your why or reason for being. But you also need to understand and continually understand your customer's why or reason for buying. So these two whys are what really need to drive the company. And the top CEOs of the last 25 years saw focusing on the long-term why as one of these six major traits. The sixth one, the sixth trait of the top CEOs of the last 25 years is do only what only you can do. Do only what only you can do. This, I believe, is extremely difficult and challenging, and that's why the best of the best CEOs have it as a mindset and do it well. I will say humbly, I need to do this better. Do only what only you can do is extremely important, and it's focusing on your unique ability. It's focusing on the things that only you can do or that you do better than everyone in the organization. One of the problems is, especially with small and medium-sized businesses, is that we think that wearing multiple hats is great, and we think that that's the right thing to do, and we think that we're saving the company time or money, or we think that we're helping a team member by us doing something ourselves, and we think if we work harder and we're more dedicated and get things done, we're helping the company. There's some truth to that, but it's a bias that also hurts us as CEOs, and it's hurt me, and it's held me back. I've committed for years to try and improve, and I believe I have, but I have a long way to go. And that's why when you look at the best of the best CEOs, they had this mindset, and they probably are accomplishing it much better than me. And I'm not saying that to be negative and to beat myself up, because I'm very satisfied and happy and continually driving to get better and passionate and really enjoy where our company is and what I do. But I also know that there are things that I'm competent at that I still do. And there's probably someone who's, those drain me. I'm competent at something, but I still do it and it drains me. Someone else might be better at it than me and they actually love it. And they probably cost less than me. So the purpose there is, again, a lot of focus on this in strategic coaches, making sure that you're focusing on your unique ability and what energizes you, and then giving the other tasks to people that you just assume no one's going to necessarily like that task, or that there aren't many people that like that task. But time and again, I've learned that there are things that were draining to me that I just didn't think were the greatest thing to do. And others said, I love doing that, because that was part of their unique ability. I'll give you a concrete example. I can produce stories and messaging at all levels, but I should only be doing what only I can do. So while I could jump in a pinch and map out a story pitch and draft a press release and do some of that level writing, I shouldn't really be doing that, because I have so many other people that are more passionate about that and probably are better at it than me. And obviously they're not, my time is better suited on that, and their time is better suited on that, and mine's better suited on my unique ability. So we have to think like that as leaders, and it becomes a challenge, because CEOs have to manage that. We need to only do what only we can do. That's the sixth trait. McKinsey Global Institute surveyed CEOs over the past 25 years from public companies, 25 years worth of data from 3,500 public companies, and they noticed there were six mindsets, six traits of the best of the best CEOs. Number one is focusing on beating the odds. They had a mindset of focusing on beating the odds. They didn't expect the odds to be in their favor. A second one is they managed performance and health of the company and themselves. Another one is they put dynamics ahead of mechanics. Dynamics, culture, leadership, relationships, ahead of mechanics, process management. Fourth one is they helped their directors help the business. They helped their leadership teams lead and get done what needed to be done. They helped them with resources. They provided them support. Another one is they center on the long-term why. And the sixth one is they only do what only they can do. Only do what only you can do. So you're focused on your unique ability and the thing that you bring to the table that brings the most value. You're not doing things that you're able to do and you're competent at, but someone else is probably better at and someone else is more energized by and someone who costs less can do. So only do what only you can do. Those are the six mindsets of the best CEOs based on the McKinsey Global Institute study of 25 years worth of data on 3,500 public companies. We can all take all six of these and apply them regardless of what our position is. Sure, this is about the top CEOs, but we can all apply these, particularly if we're leading a team and particularly if we're leading a company. These six mindsets will help us leverage our strengths and help lead and drive our companies to greater success. Thanks for listening to another episode of the No BS Marketing Show, recorded in our own studio, The Lair, in bold, beautiful downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Remember, ask yourself, what's the big idea? And build your story around the answer. It's all about bold solutions, no BS.